Let's turn now to the Middle East, where Lebanon says 22 people were killed in Israeli airstrikes this morning. The strikes were targeted at a number of areas, including the Bekaa Valley. Israel said it wants to ensure the return of 60,000 of its citizens to the north of the country. At the same time, a ballistic missile fired by Hezbollah reached Tel Aviv before being intercepted. No casualties were reported. We can go now to Beirut and to Irish Times journalist Sally Hayden. Sally, can you bring us through what's been happening over the past few hours?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess as in any war, a lot of information is kind of coming through quite slowly. And so as far as we know, like, strikes are continuing. There's massive displacement now, 500,000 estimated to be displaced by them, according to the government here. And yeah, generally, just people are trying to react to that and also to figure out who has been killed. You know, people with families in the south, for example, they're trying to get in contact with them. Many people are trying to make decisions through guessing effectively what is going to happen next. And yeah, it's very uncertain.
Can you talk to us about the people who have been fleeing the south? Lebanon isn't a large country, so where are they going?
Yeah, sure. And that's actually what I spent the morning doing, visiting different places that are kind of trying to respond to this. So there's massive displacement. And as we've seen, I'm sure people have seen the images of like log jammed roads, and people, I've heard stories of people walking for hours and hours trying to get to somewhere where they can even get inside vehicles to try and flee. And other people, of course, are deciding to stay at home. You know, I spoke to one man today and he said his parents are refusing to leave their home in the south because they just feel like, you know, he called them stubborn, but he was like, his mother, I think, is Palestinian, and he was like, she's already been displaced and they just can't face it again. And the people who are arriving in Beirut, where I am, they're being accommodated in many different places. So I visited today a church that's run by the Jesuits. They're sheltering more than 50 people now. There were a lot of children there. They're trying to figure out, because they're not an official shelter, should they move people on to another official shelter, or are they better staying off in the church property, basically? I went to a technical college. A lot of schools and colleges have now been turned into shelters as well, and that college was sheltering more than 200 people. And again, they're just figuring out how to respond to that. And I also went to basically a volunteer-run kitchen that is now making 1,200 meals a day for displaced people. And there's so many initiatives, it's even hard to, you know, to explain that the response has been massive in terms of people volunteering, people gathering, you know, donations, things that they can give. But of course, this involves a lot of coordination, and, you know, 500,000 people, it's hard to imagine how to take care of them all.
And that's an interesting question, isn't it? Because Lebanon is a country that has suffered huge economic problems and already houses a very large number of refugees, mostly from Syria. So how well equipped is it to deal with a wider conflict?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not well equipped at all. And like, it's often been described already as a failed state. There's been, I don't know how much people, listeners, know about it, but an absolutely devastating financial crisis since 2019. A lot of people, for example, who had savings in the banks seized those savings and they don't even have access to them anymore. A lot of people were stuck in debt after that. You know, money completely lost its value. The healthcare system was decimated. There was a massive brain drain where, like, people who could get jobs abroad left. And that means that a lot of the infrastructure is like really, you know, just terrible and not capable of reacting necessarily. And also for people here, they've been through so many traumas, you know, the economic crisis. And there was obviously, you know, for older people, the civil war, the 2006 war. But then more recently, the Beirut blast in 2020, COVID, like, you know, like other countries around the world. But then this on top of it, it's really just, it's hard to describe the mental impact of that. And Lebanese people and people living here, like you said, including roughly 1.5 million Syrian refugees, it's just kind of trauma on top of trauma. And the very, like, a thing that I'm learning even through, like, I've been living here since January, is the uncertainty is really hard to describe, because it's not like anybody knows how long this will last. Nobody really knows which areas will stay safe and which won't. I mean, there's a lot of speculation, you know, the mountains are safer or the Christian areas in Beirut are safer. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of guesswork a little bit. And yeah, it's hard for people to be making decisions on the basis of not fully knowing what will happen and when this will end, and knowing that they're up against, you know, a country that has such massive resources, because of obviously the other, you know, the US giving it weapons, mm-hmm. and other countries giving it weapons. That means that they know that they're against a foe that also has a much greater capacity that they just can't, you know, deal with.
Sally Hayden in Beirut, thank you very much for talking to us today.